morning, Greg. How's it going?
I'm not quite as good. Is it Demanti does the his own ring announcement? I'm not quite as good as him with the and the new, but I'm trying my best here, you know.
you'll get his job next.
I don't think so. Come here, congratulations! It was so evident. Your team would have known what this meant to you, but it was clear when that announcement was made. There was this was next level. It had a next level meaning to you, Jason.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it was. Look, it has been a real difficult time for everybody. You know, with COVID and lockdowns, and you know, everything kind of got held back in one way or another. Whether you were a sports person or just a normal business owner or a normal worker, even just ordinary life. You know, so it was. I had a lot of setbacks, as people know, and the amount of fights that I was supposedly meant to have. I think I had 5 fights that were very close to being happening and all falling through because of COVID. And then, you know, leading into this fight then as well, there was another 2 or 3 wee hiccups along the way. And, you know, at one stage I thought, am I ever going to get fighting again? Like, it was a long, hard journey to get that stage last night. But
just when you're training and you know you're trying to keep just at peak, because the way boxing's running at the moment, Jason, and you're the man, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. Like, some people are getting like really, really big fights at very short notice. There's a lot of that going on. How do you motivate yourself in camp, or even outside of camp, but just to be at the peak, sort of to be ready to go if need be?
Yes, you're 100% right. You know, I think I'm very lucky that I'm at a certain stage in my life and at a certain age in my life that I suppose I'm a lot more mature and, you know, I'm a lot more settled in life. So I have a great routine and I have a great structure of, you know, always kind of being in the gym or being fit, being healthy. I'm kind of at that stage in my life now where that's where I'm at now. I have a good routine in life and I have a good structure and I'm able to implement that into my daily routine, you know, because throughout all of lockdown it would have been very easy to put on a few stone and not bother doing any training at all. Like, but, you know, I suppose looking back now as well in hindsight that all those fights coming up that were supposedly coming up, having them probably kept me in shape as well, knowing that there possibly could have always been something coming that it always kept me training, even though they might never have happened. But they always kept me on my toes as well, and kept me in the gym and kept me training, kept me out running, kept me away from putting too much weight on. Not that I would do that anyway, really, on a normal basis. But, you know, I think it's just, to be honest, through the whole lockdown, I tried my best, just taking everything one day at a time. You know, just trying to be the best I could this day, and whatever comes tomorrow, we'll deal with that tomorrow.
But be that as it may, all the running work, the bag work, the sparring, it doesn't match a fight, right? And, you know, you were able to go bell to bell for 10 rounds there, and I suppose you don't really know what your energy levels are going to be like until you're actually in the trenches. Was that a satisfying element of it, that the prep was obviously got right, that you seemed to have, you know, you had it in the tank to because it was a ferocious and a lively fight, to keep going for the full 10?
Yeah, and it was something that had been talked about a lot, and even in the fighter meetings and the lead up to the fight, you know, the whole fight week, the TV crowd and the TV presenters that were going to be announcing on fight night, you know, were always kind of bringing up and saying about in my previous fights that have gone 10 rounds, like, I'm always a great starter to a fight, you know, I'll come out really good, won the first couple of rounds, and they might see me fading late on in the fight and maybe losing the last couple of rounds, or obviously that defeat then to Turiano as well. I faded away in the last end of that fight, but I have been working on that a lot, and it's not a case that I was never fit. You know what I mean? Anybody that knows me knows that I train my ass off, like, you know what I mean? I always come in 110% prepared and 110% ready, and it was more of a mental change than anything else that that got me through those later rounds, the middle stage rounds, and get myself fresh, because instead of always worrying about the decision and worrying about the outcome, I stayed more present in the fight.
And is it a case of sort of working when it's worth working? In other words, working when, if it's going to go the distance, you're going to get something from it, you know, rather than, you know, you go in all guns blazing from the beginning. Is it sort of like maybe even working with Andy Lee, but also learning yourself a bit better? It's sort of, you know, to use your pace yourself a bit better.
Yeah, like I've had over 250 amateur fights, and every one of those were three rounds. Like,
yes. Hell for leather.
In there and hell for leather, and the best man will come out at the end of the three rounds.
Yeah.
Whereas this is more, that was like, if you put it in terms of athletics, you know, that was me being a sprinter, and this is me being more a long distance runner. Now you need to pace yourself through the fight. You need to know when to switch it on. You need to know when to, you know, maybe hold back a little bit.
Yeah.
Let him take his burst, but not let him get the upper hand, and then you push it on him. And that's something that I have been working on a lot. And, you know, it's one of the main things and the main feedback that I'm getting from a lot of people is how 7th, 8th, 9th round, he says, you were just bouncing around on your toes. Like, you could have went another 10 rounds. It was unbelievable. And, you know, that definitely is a confidence booster for me.
Brilliant.
To come away with that.
And because judging is so subjective as well, you know, like, You might be, you know, outpointing in the latter stages, but if the judges think you're on the bike a little bit or whatever, you know, even if you win those latter rounds, if you're not looking busy, you don't know what impact that might have. But, it's a bit of a war, right? Both of you prepared to stand there and trade, you know, and I particularly think maybe the heavy are at middleweight. Like, you don't want to be going in and having, you know, all those fights like that, Jason, do you? Do you think... Or is that the way you want to fight? Or do you think you need to adjust a little bit more? You know what I mean? You don't want to shift, you know, an awful lot of punishment, even though you're dishing out more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like that all depends on the fight. Like Mike Tyson always had a great saying, every fighter has a plan till he gets hit in the face. we all have a game plan, and we all go in there with our best foot forward and what we think and what we've worked on that's going to win the fight. But there's going to be stages in the fight, and this can transfer, and anybody can, you know, refer to this, that there's going to be stages in life or in anything where you're going to have to bite down, you're going to have to dig deep, and you're just going to have to show that you want it more than the other person. And there were stages that I had to do that. You know, I had to bite down, I had to fight against him, I had to hit him, I had to hurt him and make him know that I meant business. So in a boxing match, you know, sometimes a fighter can get into a routine and into something very comfortable where he can just keep coming forward, keep doing what he's doing. But if you hit him hard enough and drive those knuckles straight through him, that's going to make him think twice about coming forward, make him think twice about what he's doing.
Yeah.
And that's throwing him off his game plan. So, you know, there's different stages of the fight that you do these things. And, you know, I haven't watched the fight back yet, but, you know, I can remember stages of the fight where I kind of closed up my defense, you know, closed up my fists a wee bit tighter and started throwing a wee bit heavier shots, trying to hurt him, trying to throw him off his game plan, throw him off his rhythm. And once I seen myself doing that, I got back to my boxing then and mixed everything up again, mixed up the routine, mixed up the rhythm of the fight.
Yeah.
And kept things in my...
Because I think in the first round, I'm not sure if it's an overhand left or right, but presumably, you know, you throw a punch, he sees that, you get hit. You have to say, right, I can't actually keep doing that because he's going to keep doing that. So even as early as the first round, presumably, you're saying, right, I'm going to have to make a slight adjustment here.
Yeah, of course, you know, and as I said, it's not a sprint, it's a long-distance fight, you know what I mean? So there's going to be things thrown at you throughout the fight that you're going to have to adjust to, and that's just part of the game. You know, you're going to have to adjust to certain things, and that's when you have to be prepared for the unexpected, you know, and you have to be ready for whatever's going to come to the table. But I was very pleased with the performance. I was happy with the way things went. I was happy with the way that I controlled the fight. I fought when I wanted to fight. I boxed when I wanted to box, and I got up on my toes, moved around, looked the fresher fighter, looked the more in-control fighter throughout the fight, and I believe that's what won me the fight.
What next? I mean, would you have any appetite? I mean, I think Shane Mosley Jr. might be in for a shout saying, look, it was a tight fight, I wouldn't mind another crack at it. Would you be interested in that? You probably think it was much wider than he might, but would you be interested in that, or do you need... you know, to step up to motivate yourself? Or I know Demetrius Andrade's name's being bandied about, and it's a fight that very easily could be made. I'd love to see you against Liam Williams, actually, from a, you know, more domestic and inverted commas perspective. But in terms of what's next for you, do you need to sort of go up in terms of levels for yourself, Jason?
Yeah, look, the way that fight was an opportunity. That fight was a stepping stone. And, you know, I took the opportunity. I grabbed that with both hands. And I was the one that came out top of the class on Saturday night. And, you know, I'm not going to turn around now and take a backward step again. Mm-hmm. I was the one that stepped up to the plate. I was the one that moved forward, took advantage of the opportunity, and progressed. So for me now, I'm definitely looking at a Bobo Andrade world title fight, and I have been seeing things on social media at the minute that it's a very popular opinion of a fight. There's a lot of people wanting to see it, even some of the top promoters and some of the top social media guys in boxing have been calling for it, and have been talking and tagging Eddie Hearn, Bobo Andrade's promoter, and my promoter Oscar De La Hoya. So it's definitely something that's out there now, and people are talking about it, and that's nowadays how fights get made. The fans, the people talking about it, making it public on social media is a very positive sign to a fight happening.
Well, Boo Boo doesn't want to be seen to be backing down from a challenge, because, you know, you've put it up to him before, and there's also that, and as well as that, as particularly, I think, you know, I know you're under Oscar De La Hoya, but with what DAZN are doing, they want to put on good fights. You're going to be in a good fight. That, I think, you know, if Eddie Hearn watched that fight, which he did, he knows if he books you in a fight, it's going to be a good fight, and that's what it's all about. I mean, it leaves you in a really good position.
Yeah, you know, like, boxing is a business as well, and you know, if you're an exciting fighter, people's going to want to come and see you. You're going to put asses in the seat, as they say in boxing, and that's what makes fights, that's what makes you money, that's what gets you the opportunities, that's what gets you the world title fights. And these are the types of things that's happening now. You know, it was an exciting fight, it was a great fight to watch, and people know now what I'm capable of doing. People are, it's on the edge of their tongue that Keith Quigley and Bobo Andrade will be a great fight. You know, get that fight on for a world title. And these are the types of things, obviously, that have to happen. You know, I was speaking with Eddie Hearn after it. I was speaking with my team after it, just briefly. And a few guys actually in DAZN, and they say that it's a very possible fight that could get made. So fingers crossed now that it can get made. And Bobo Andrade has always been kind of crying out as well, saying that, you know, I'm always getting ducked. Nobody wants to fight me, and, you know, everyone's trying to bypass me. Well, here I am, like, you know what I mean? You're a fighter, you want to stay busy, you want to stay active. I'm here, I'm willing to put it up to you. I earned my right for that. I would never turn around and call him out without earning my right to doing it. I'm not that type of fighter, but I believe that I earned my right for a world title shot on Saturday night, and there's no reason why that fight can't happen.
And finally, do you want to mention any other names than Andrade? I mean, it's a really, you know, there's a lot of options in that division. Do you want to stay sort of focused on that, see if you can get that fight, or are there any other fights, if that didn't come off, that would really sort of excite you?
Well, that fight is probably the most likely to come off the world title fights, because I have a version of the belt that he has. I'm going to be probably up in near the top five in the world rankings now with that belt that I have. So that's probably going to be the most realistic fight. But then you also have the likes of Gennady Golovkin, who is a middleweight world champion, who's a massive name, and struggles to get fights as well. You have the likes of Ryota Murata, the Japanese guy who has the WBA world title.
Which would be huge.
That I was scheduled to fight as well 2 years ago. I actually signed the contract. Everything was done. And that fell through. But, you know, look, the way that it is and the way that it has been as last 2 years now, I've been taking things day at a time, trying to do the absolute best that I can do every single day. And if I can keep being the best version of me every single day, keep giving it my absolute all, leaving no stone unturned, I truly believe that everything's going to fall into place for me. Fingers crossed that these things are going to happen now.
I mean, it was a really proud day for us and for you, of course. You know, on a massive card, worldwide streaming and people watching in other ways, of course, and to hear to pull off the victory, but to hear, you know, not just Ireland, but to hear Donegal and to hear Ballybuffet as well. I mean, you know, it can't be understated, I think, how big a deal it was. And what's even more exciting, Jason, for you and for us, is there's even bigger days ahead. That's inevitable. So it's an amazing achievement and a real proud day for Donegal and for Ballybuffet, of course, as well.
Without a doubt, like, and that's something that I've been really excited about as well, because nothing has been really happening. Nobody has had anything to really look forward to, and you know, I'm so happy that the fight got made first and people could get excited about the fight coming up and something to watch for, somebody to root for, and then to get the victory. It gives a buzz again to something, you know, it gives a bit of life and a bit of kick and a bit of happiness again to things after such a hard, difficult time. So I'm absolutely delighted with that. And I was just, I just got back into Dublin this morning and I was on my way back. I stopped in at the shop on my way back and I seen this school teacher in there and he was over, "No way, you're not back already." Jesus, you've given me such a lift. He says, "I've been waiting so long for somebody to whisper or something just to shout on and to cheer on." He says, "Thanks very much." And, you know, so these are the kind of wee things that that make it all worthwhile as well, you know, whenever you come back home.
All right, very finally, no cuts, hands all okay. When would you be ready to go again?
I'm going to take a good solid week off now this week, Colin, and just chill out. Take a bit of time, eat what I want, go to bed when I want, get up when I want, and just do what I want now for this week, spend some lovely time with the family, and, you know, we're going to sit down then and talk with the team. But thank God, you know, a good 10 rounds, solid fight like that coming out with no injuries, no cuts, a few bruises, but your belly.
So you went in with them.
Exactly. I've got a lot of people coming out saying, "Are they before or from after?" But look, we're going to sit down with the team now in a week or two again and see what the options are. I might jump on social media and kick up a wee stir now this week coming as well.
Give Andre a touch. You have to keep the pressure on him, you know?
100%.
Well, we'll all do our bit. Listen, Jason, safe journey home. Well done again, of course. A brilliant achievement. But what's even better is I mean, the bigger days are still to come. It's such an exciting space to be in. And well done to you, Jason.
Lovely. Thanks very much for having me, Greg. Really appreciate it.